And turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 this evening. Philippians 3. I was praying about the service tonight and what to preach on, and decided to take a brief break from our Genesis series. We'll begin that after revival again. And this passage keeps coming to mind. It is the theme of our revival services, and out of Ephesians chapter 3, and Philippians. I said Philippians the first time, I think. Yes, okay. Philippians chapter 3. And really, I want you to read with me verses 13 and 14. It encapsulates where our heart should be tonight and through the next few days. And really, it should be consistently. But these are just some thoughts that really on my heart I want to share with you this evening and see if we can get on the same page. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Philippians 3:13. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Before I forget, next week we will have Brother and Sister Aguiar with us and good friends of our ministry. I have a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. If you'd like to share a meal with them, you can sign up for one of the days and have dinner with them, or if you'd rather do lunch, you can do lunch. And just as a way to show them hospitality, help take care of their meals. They are living in a motorhome, and so their needs will be provided, and our church will do our best to provide hospitality. But it would be good if you'd like to. You can sign up, and then I'll help facilitate that. You can take them out to eat. You can provide a meal there. You can eat the meal here at the church, however you'd like to do it. And that would give you an opportunity to get to know our evangelist. You know, it's an interesting aspect of our world, and the aspect is that of change. Change. Over time, things change. If I had a nickel for every time somebody who's older than me says, "Man, things have really changed." And I find myself saying, "Man, things have really changed." Things change. People change. They do. Society definitely changes, and not always for the better. And we respond differently to change. Some of us like it. You know, some people get bored easily. They have the attention span of a goldfish. And they, you know, if it's something's happening for more than just 3 days, they would never survive if they had to work in an assembly line for the rest of their life. They have to constantly be doing something different. Change. Some of us, and they're eager for it. In fact, they push for it. They're the movers and the shakers. Some of us fear it. Routine is secure to us. I don't know if you're like that. We even push against it. Sometimes we wish we could change things, and they're out of our hands. Has anybody ever been there? You wish you could change something, and it's bigger than you. God has it. It's out of your hands. Sometimes things change, and you wish they'd stay the same. And you don't have anything. One thing that I was thinking about as it relates to change, and this comes with the new year, is that when God saved you, He did so to change you. Even your heart. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's not the way we were before salvation, but that is God's plan for us. He saved you to change you. I see these kiosks sometimes in front of churches and different things, and it says, "God loves you just the way you are." And friend, that is true. But He loves you too much to let you stay that way, because it's God's plan for us to be like Christ. You know, in this coming year, you may be seeking for changes or dreading changes, but I want to emphasize some choices that you can make so that you change for the better. this year. Now, next week we're having the revival services, and God wants to connect with you. He does. Every time you come here, every time you open your Bible, meet with Him in prayer, He wants to meet with you and to change you so that you are more like Christ. And how much God does in our lives really depends on us. God wants to change each one of us every day. And how much He does really depends on our actions. There's some choices here in Philippians chapter 3 I want to draw out. The first choice is in verse 1. And I want to emphasize a choice that you need to make in this year, that I need to make. The choice to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the..." What's the next word? Lord. That's a commandment. "To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." The same things. You know what Paul's saying? He says, "I'm reiterating something you already know. I'm repeating myself." You know, it's ironic. I preached out of this same chapter November 30th, Sunday, November 30th. I normally don't preach the same chapter so close together, but I couldn't get it out of my mind. So to say the same things to you is not grievous. It's good for you. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, repeating yourself can be wearisome. It can grow old quickly. But when what you're repeating is true, it helps. Now, you might struggle with this commandment. Choose tonight, choose tomorrow, choose next week to rejoice in the Lord. You might struggle with that. You might say, "Pastor, I don't feel like rejoicing. My health is not good. I got bad news from the doctor. I have arthritis in my knees. I might be having financial trouble, or my AC just broke on the car." Maybe there's some struggles in your relationships and you say, "I don't feel like rejoicing." But I got good news for you, because God didn't tell us to rejoice in your air conditioner or rejoice in your car or rejoice in your knees that don't have arthritis. He told us to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And you know, the things that I think it's interesting, and I'm not looking down on our praises. I love praises where God works in our life. But do you realize that so frequently the things that we rejoice in are foreign to 95% of this world? We rejoice that we got a new refrigerator. And 98% of the world's population doesn't know what it is to have electricity. They live on $200 a year in the 1040 window. We rejoice because of these things that are not eternal. These things, health and what country we live in, that we're and so much of the world, this is foreign to them completely. And the Bible gives a commandment that regardless of who you are, where you are, you can rejoice in the Lord. See, the things that God has given to us do not change. He provides us salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Is that true in America? Yes. Is that true in Nepal? Is that true in the Middle East? Yes. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful that's not going to change. I can rejoice in that I know I'm saved tonight. And you can too. You know what? I can rejoice in the gift of prayer. The Bible says in Hebrews, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You can rejoice that God hears you when you pray. That's the kind of God we have. We don't have to tender His heart. We don't have to sacrifice an animal. We don't have to prove things to God. He wants to hear us. We can rejoice in that. The gift of the Holy Spirit. How about daily forgiveness that's available? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have a God who holds grudges. You can rejoice in that. The faithfulness of Christ. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And the future home kept by the power of God. You know, if you're saved tonight, you have a lot to rejoice for. Pastor, it's hard. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord next year. See, no matter your situation, if you rejoice in the Lord and the things that He has given you, you can always rejoice. Because these other things, they come and go. Yeah, I know some days are rough, but are you still saved? Now, I'm not diminishing anybody's problems. We have problems. But guess what? 1 second after you breathe your last, all those problems are where? We leave them behind. And we're with the Lord. Choose to rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, choose to rely on Christ and not self. You know, if God's going to change you this year to be more like Christ, it's going to be by His power, not by ours. Verse 2. He says, "Beware of false teachers that preach the works of the flesh. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." That word concision is a technical term. Paul uses that to refer to some men that were adding works to salvation. They taught that you had to receive Christ and perform the Old Testament rite of circumcision in order to get saved. They were adding works to salvation. Friend, you cannot make yourself more saved by doing works. It's not by works. It's by grace. It's a gift. And listen, the flesh has nothing to offer to get you saved, and you can't make yourself more appealing to God or accomplish anything after salvation through the flesh. Listen to what this text says in Galatians. He's warning the church, and he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified? This what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith?" Well, by its hearing, by the faith, of course. It's not by the works of the law. And he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" So you don't get saved by works, and you don't become like Jesus Christ by trying to work your way there. It's by God's help. Listen, you will only grow more like Christ through the power of Christ. If there's good in your life tonight, if there has been a change, and there should have been a change when you got saved, if there has been a change, you know whose power brought that about? God's. God's did. And it can continue through abiding with Christ. He says in John 15, "Without me ye can do nothing." We need Him. If we are going to become like Him more this year, if we're going to be a better Christian, more Christ-like in our responses, more forgiving, if we're going to obey the Word of God, it's got to be by God's power, not by ours. The Christian who spends no time with Christ in prayer, no time in the Word, and expects to change, they're relying on self instead of Christ. Choose to rely on Christ. Choose to rejoice in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Choose to make your relationship with Christ a priority. This will really make a difference. Choose to make your relationship with Christ a priority. Paul talks about his life before salvation, and really on the outside, he would have been a model Christian today. "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." These are the things that I was in the flesh. These were the things that I was on the outside, you could say. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. The law says to be, you know, circumcise a child on the eighth day. So basically, he was obeying the law before he could make decisions. "Of the tribe of Benjamin and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee." The Pharisees kept the law, added to the law. They knew the law. In fact, they were called lawyers in the New Testament. "Concerning zeal," this is how zealous he was. He persecuted the church because he thought they were going against God's Old Testament law. "Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." You know, if you looked at him today, Paul the Apostle would have been in a Baptist church every service wearing a 3-piece suit with his hair parted on the right side, raised in a good family and known in the community. Carrying a track in his pocket, maybe. That's right. Helped little old ladies across the street and done everything right on the outside. You know what? You know how much it made a difference to God? Nothing. All that was done in the flesh, and it meant nothing to God. And so what he says is, continuing down in the next few verses, "What things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord." Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him as a person. You know, it's a very different thing to read a biography or an autobiography than it is to meet the person face to face. You know, I've read biographies and autobiographies of famous people. Once or twice I've read a book about somebody and had a chance to meet them in person. That's incredible. I don't know if you've ever got that opportunity. He says, I don't want to just read about him. I want to know him. That's a priority. Verse 8, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. When you eat what's left over, that's what it is, dung. And you know what? When it comes to his life, he says, everything that I'm just get rid of it. If I can win Christ, the flesh has nothing to offer me. It's a closer relationship with him. Laying it aside, he had preached of the judgment seat of Christ, and here he looks forward to it. He says a relationship with Christ is far better than all that the world has to offer. Verse 9, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that's what I can do, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let me ask you a question. What are you willing to lay aside to make your relationship with Christ a priority this year? Paul says his relationship with Christ was a priority. It's all right, brother. All right, send that baby to the nursery. I've been waiting to say that and not offend somebody. A mom would be offended. Rob won't be offended. Love you, brother. What are you willing to lay aside to make your relationship with Christ a top priority? Sometimes things get in the way. Sometimes we reach this point in our life where we feel like, well, I've made progress. Well, I have this. Everybody around me considers me spiritual. But friend, I can tell you this tonight. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how much progress you've made, you're not perfect yet. There's room to grow. There's room to be more like Christ. And by the way, God wants to work on our lives. And it needs to be a priority. If you sacrifice something temporal and finish the year more like Christ, if you set aside something so that you can make your relationship with Him, your time in the Word, your time in prayer, your time in church, if you can make sharing the gospel with others more of a priority by laying aside something temporal, you didn't lose anything. You gained something eternal this year. See, the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things that are above, for not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And when it comes that Jesus Christ appears in the clouds, some of us are going to realize, wow, I've been dumping my life into so many things that I'm leaving behind. He is what's truly important. He is our life. He should be our priority. Choose to make your relationship with him a priority. And choose to refocus on the goal of life. Verses 10 through 14. Sometimes we can lose focus on things. Sometimes we can focus on the wrong things. Minor things. You ever been driving down Highway 27 and you see a wreck up ahead? Yeah, you guys have. I know you have. They happen all the time. Car crashes or whatever. Yeah. 27 is synonymous with accidents. Yeah. You ever notice how other cars slow down and rubberneck? They quit watching the road in front of them so they can watch the accident, and they almost have an accident. Right? Yeah. No, you don't need to blow your horn at them, okay? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens in our life. And listen, Christian, we can get our focus off on so many different things. Accidents around us, people doing things. Other people, I just get on my nerves, and we focus on them, and we focus on this, and we focus on stuff in the church, and our focus gets diverted to all these little things that just get under our skin. If somebody had something to write negative about, I would say it was the Apostle Paul. Because you know where he was writing Philippians? In a damp prison cell. Oh my goodness. But he doesn't talk about that. And he talks about this in glowing terms. This is his focus. Look at verse 10. That I may know him. Not just know about him, not just read a biography or an autobiography, but to know him personally, that I may know him. How do you know somebody? Well, you share experiences with them, really. And he says this, that I may know him, and then he talks about experiences that he's willing to share that he might know the Lord Jesus Christ more. This will really stretch you. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ more, but I have not written this down yet like this. And the power of his resurrection. That's the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit's power on my life this year. Do you? Amen. Do you? Yeah. The power of the resurrection. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And the fellowship of his sufferings. To go through suffering together builds fellowship. It builds a kinship, a brotherhood. He says, I'm willing to suffer for Christ that I might know him that way. The fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I want to know Jesus Christ so much, it's such a desire of my heart that I'm willing to die like he did if it means I could know him more. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wrote about Christ returning and he says, you know what? If he's martyred, he's going to be in the resurrection of the dead, not the rapture. That's how badly the Apostle Paul wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Even dying like Christ did so he could be resurrected like Christ was. How many of us could say that we know Christ better today than the beginning of last year? Not just know about him, but we talk to him. Listen, when you talk to God, it's a meeting with God. He's your Father. He wants to know you. He wants to hear from you. And sometimes, folks, I hope this is not the case in your personal life, but when we relate to God, it's formalistic and it's awkward and we can't see him and we struggle. He loves you. Talk to him like you would somebody you respect and love. Have you gone through things this year with him or on your own? Maybe you've suffered this year, but you've suffered on your own, and so you don't have the fellowship of sufferings with Christ. He wants to go through it with you. Lean on him this next year. By the way, if you went through it on your own, he hasn't gone anywhere. It's us who do. This is a huge characteristic that separates Christianity from religion. And I talk to so many people who say, well, yeah, I told him I'm a pastor and I was talking to a guy today. And he says, I just got a problem with religion. Well, let me tell you, God does too. Because he doesn't want a religion. He wants to know you, to save you. Jesus Christ died so that you can be reconciled to God and have a relationship with your Creator. And friend, I think one of the things that we're going to regret, maybe for a little time when we get to eternity, because the tears will be wiped away, won't regret for all eternity. Praise God for that. But one thing I think we're going to regret is how that we wasted time on earth as a believer, content just to know God in just a very infant way. And not to talk with him as a close friend. That I may know him, he says. A closer relationship with Christ. And really, when you think about this, be cautious of complacency. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. Now, we would look at the Apostle Paul, we'd say, wow, that's possibly the best Christian other than Jesus Christ. He says, hey, I have not attained. You know what that means? If he did not feel like he had arrived, I will never reach the place where I should feel like I arrived. But you know what? That's what our flesh does. We get to a place in our life where we feel like I'm better than 90% of the people that I see. I'm probably doing okay. That's humanity. That's the flesh. And friend, that is a lie we tell ourselves. That's complacency. God doesn't want us to be complacent. He says he has not reached his goal. I follow after that which, if that I may apprehend, that for which I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He was persecuted for being a servant of Christ. And he says, I don't even know that I've reached that yet. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Being cautious of complacency. Listen, on this side of heaven, there is never a point where we can put the transmission in neutral and coast the rest of the way. Until we have arrived, we have not arrived. And this next year, we need to focus on Jesus Christ as our goal. Leaving the past behind us in verse 13. He said, not as though I've apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Resist the temptation to live in the past. Forgetting. Past failures are forgiven. Say that with me. Past failures are forgiven. Now you remember that next time Satan brings them up. And he likes to. Confess it, forsake it, forget it. Unless you're planning to do it again, you don't need to feel guilty. Now if you're planning to do it again, you should feel conviction. Past failures are forgiven. Forget the past. But listen, past victories are not the finish line. We look at the past victory and we're like, hey, I did pretty good back there. I feel pretty good. You know, I might not have done this, but I did this back here. And God says, that was not the finish line. Answered prayer, blessings, acts of selflessness, obedience. That's great. But forget it and do more in 2020. We're never called to live in the glory of the past. Never once do you see that in Scripture. Forgetting those things which are behind, he says, and reaching forth, like an open hand, grasping forth unto those things which are before, he says. Focus on God's goal for you. God's goal for you is ever upward. I press toward the mark. This is a runner's metaphor, a sports metaphor for the prize. Now, in sports, that prize might, in his day, it was a crown of leaves. They would run and sometimes die for a crown of leaves. You say, that's kind of dumb. Yeah, people do it today for a trophy. That's kind of dumb. No, some people do it for $1 million. Oh, yeah, that lasts a lot longer. Our life's but a vapor. But a vapor. If there's something worth pouring our life into, it's this. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's worth pouring our life into. See, we as believers are promised a reward for our efforts in Christ. Listen to what the Scripture says. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Not a crown of leaves. The crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, our calling is not a finish line. Our calling is to live for Him and like He did until we pass into eternity. I'm not the man I used to be. If you're saved, you're not either. But you know what? We're not completely the person who we ought to be. What we are by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, we have room to grow. We have room to grow, pressing toward the mark, being cautious of complacency, leaving the past behind us and reaching forward to Jesus Christ. You know, we cannot change our situation tonight, probably. Your debts, your physical condition. You can't change other people's opinion of you. But one thing you can change is your focus. And the prophet Isaiah, he said in a very rough time in Israel's history, he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The prophet Isaiah focused on God. When I enjoy riding motorcycle. We went through course training to ride motorcycle. It was different than getting a car license. Some of you who've done it, you know. I had to go through 8 hours of training. I was like, wow, this is kind of dumb. I already have a car license. They made us do it anyway. Had to pay a lot of money for it. You know, one of the things they taught us, they said, when you're driving down the road and you see an obstacle in the road, a board with nails in it, a rock, cardboard box. By the way, on a motorcycle, those things can kill you. In a car, you'd run over them and it's like, what did I just hit? You know, motorcycle? Mm. You know what the tendency is when you see something in the road up ahead? The tendency is to focus on it. You know what happens when you focus on it? You hit it every time. That's exactly right. You know, if you focus on where you want to be, that's where you'll be. If you focus on the obstacle, that's what you're going to continue hitting. And I think about that many times in my Christian life. God calls our focus not to be where we were or the problems, but our focus is to be on Him. Choose to refocus on the Lord Jesus Christ in 2020. And if you do, the change is going to happen. We're going to change. Some of us are going to change physically this year. I had somebody tell me already tonight. They were surprised that I hadn't gotten much older. Love you guys. Glad you're here. Change is going to happen. The question is, what kind of change and how much? And really, that depends on us. Choose to rejoice in the Lord this year. Choose to do that. Choose to rely on Christ and not on self. Choose to make your relationship with Him a priority. Choose to refocus on the goal of life, and that is becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. Living the life that you have for Him like He did. And the change that happens will be what God wants it to happen. God wants to do it. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in your life in revival, in mine. He wants to. It's really up to us, the choices we make. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, we thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for the dear group of folks that are here this evening. I pray that You would help us. Help us, O Lord, to make the right choices with our focus, with our faith, forgetting things, and then remembering some things. Work in our lives. Help us to rejoice in You tonight. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart, friend, talk to the Lord. If He's spoken to you about something specific, maybe a decision, maybe a confession, maybe just solidifying something you know, talk to God.